Chapter 8 Dinosaurs.
"Well, we can't return now. We must continue," said Challenger.
I looked in front of us into the forest. "What's in there?" I asked myself. I was afraid, but I was also excited. There was something mysterious about this plateau, and I wanted to discover it, danger or no danger. We made a camp and then decided to explore the plateau. We started to walk along a small river. Suddenly, Lord Roxton pointed to an enormous footprint. It looked like a bird's foot, but it was much bigger than any bird we knew.
"This footprint is recent," Lord Roxton began to say.
But suddenly he stopped talking. We all heard a noise. It was coming from the trees, and we looked in the direction of the noise. We couldn't believe it. We saw two enormous creatures. They were dinosaurs, and they were taller than some of the trees. They looked like giant kangaroos, with dinosaur heads and long, thick tails. They were standing on two legs and pulling branches from the trees with their two small hands. We were fascinated, and we couldn't move. Finally, the dinosaurs left. I turned to look at my friends. The two professors were standing with their mouths open and a look of surprise on their faces. Lord Roxton held his rifle, ready for action.
"What were they?" he asked.
"Iguanodons," answered Challenger.
"What will people in England say about this?"
Summerlee asked.
"They'll say you're crazy," said Challenger.
"You and the others said that about me."
"But we can take photos to prove we really saw these creatures," said Summerlee.
"False photos, dear Professor. All false," will be their response, said Challenger.
We continued walking through the forest until we saw a line of rocks. A strange noise was coming from behind the rocks, and there was a terrible smell. We looked at each other. We knew it was dangerous, but we were curious. Quietly, we climbed the rocks and looked over the top. We saw something very strange there. I'll never forget it. Below us was an enormous hole in the ground. Inside the hole was a pool of dirty green water full of pterodactyls. The females were sitting on enormous yellow eggs. Babies were moving their wings up and down and making sounds like snakes. The males sat on rocks, watching with their frightening red eyes. Suddenly, one of the males saw us and flew into the air with a loud cry. Soon, all the males were flying in a circle above us. They flew lower and lower until we could feel the movement from their wings. We started to run, but the pterodactyls attacked us with their beaks. Summerlee shouted and put a hand on his face. There was blood all over it. Suddenly, I felt something sharp on my neck.
"Ouch!"
I cried in pain. I looked around me, shocked, and saw Challenger falling to the ground. I tried to lift him, but another pterodactyl attacked me and I fell. Just then, I heard the sound of Lord Roxton's rifle, and a pterodactyl fell from the sky. The other pterodactyls flew higher, frightened by the sound.
"Now," Lord Roxton cried, "run to the trees."
We turned back and ran. The pterodactyls couldn't attack us because their wings were too big to fly between the trees. We had protection for now. We walked to our camp slowly, tired and covered in blood.
"Well,
Things can only improve, I thought to myself. But I was wrong. We returned to our camp, and we found it in disorder. Our food wasn't there, and our provisions were all over the ground.
"Who or what did this?"
asked Challenger.
"It looks like it was a very strong creature."
Frightened, we looked around us with a feeling that many eyes were watching us, and not human eyes. That night, while we were tidying the camp, Lord Roxton came to talk to me.
"Did you notice anything unusual about the ground around the pool of pterodactyls?"
he asked me.
"It was a bit blue," I answered. "Exactly. A volcanic tube of blue earth," he declared.
"And what exactly does that mean?" I asked curiously.
"Oh, nothing,"
answered Lord Roxton very casually, and he got up and went to bed.